Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. Our guest for this full hour has been Dr. Stephen Blank. We are in our fifth and final installment of this conversation. Dr. Blank, you have laid out a lot to be concerned about with respect to Vladimir Putin and his agenda, his goals, his objectives, and what he has done, both through military techniques and through other instruments, economic warfare, information warfare, cyber warfare, and so on, to change what the old Soviets used to call the correlation of forces, perhaps decisively to their advantage. Talk about what we might do at this crossroads. A new commander-in-chief coming in. We don't know who that will be, of course, as we speak, but nonetheless, whoever it is going to confront the bear being back. What would you recommend be our policy at this time?
Well, the critical thing is that you have to take Russia as more seriously than the Obama administration has done, and you have to have a truly strategic understanding of what it is you want to accomplish with regard to Russia. Third, you have to have a policy that's not just focused on Russia, but on the surrounding areas, Ukraine and Eastern Europe, the Caucasus, and so on. Because otherwise, if you get a Russia-first policy, which only encourages bad tendencies in Moscow. Now, having said that, what I think is essential that we do is, one, build up our conventional deterrent with NATO, not just by ourselves. NATO has to provide a strong conventional deterrent so the Russians do not think they can launch a fait accompli in Europe, and that would also reassure our allies. And it takes away the nuclear threat, because if they can't get a fait accompli, they can't threaten us with nuclear weapons if we resist, because the resistance will already be on the ground and will be quite substantial. That doesn't mean parity with Moscow, but it does mean a vigorous and sufficient conventional defense. Second, there has to be retaliation of information. There has to be an information strategy, and you can't let the Russians do what they've been doing in our networks with impunity. Third, quite frankly, I think we need to be exporting energy to Europe and building the infrastructure to get it done sooner rather than later in order to make the economic weapons stronger against them. And fourth, I think you need to essentially strengthen the economic and political resolve of European countries. I mean, I support a program, I realize it's unpopular, but I support a program that would basically be on the scale of the Marshall Plan, not the Marshall Plan, because that's not the problem, but on that kind of scale, that would revitalize the European economies and governments so that the Europeans would reinvigorate their economies, be able to spend more on defense, be stronger domestically and more integrated, and they would be able to deal with the inevitable other crisis that's going to threaten them, that is mass migration from Arab and Third World and Muslim countries, which is going to come regardless of what anybody wants to do or not. This way they have an answer for it instead of putting people in camps, which is inhumane and not a political answer. But it also deals with the Russian threat, because these states would then be stronger with regard to the Russian efforts to subvert them and corrupt them.
Let me ask you two questions about that, because those are very interesting possible initiatives. And as to the first, the idea of a new, for want of a better term, Marshall Plan to revitalize Europe, could we conceivably do such a thing, Steve Blank, without insisting that the Europeans give up some of the social safety net on which they have been expending greater and greater amounts of their national treasure? Otherwise, aren't we just simply subsidizing that and not necessarily going to get the kind of revitalized military deterrent capabilities that I certainly agree with you we need to see there?
Well, I think that you can't insist on that to begin with. First of all, no European government can afford to do it politically. And it's a fantasy to think otherwise, I believe. But second, it also is one of the reasons why Europe is so attractive and it's politically stable, because you've eliminated the social and economic class conflicts that led to World War II. And you've put in built-in stabilizers for the system. So, I mean, those systems may need reforming, and it varies from state to state, but I would never put anything in like that. The program needs to be worked out in cooperation with Europe, not on a you-must-do-this-or-else basis, because that will undermine the whole purpose and the alliance. The whole idea of this program is a cooperative, large-scale venture. For example, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Protocol would have been part of it. It's dead in Congress. I understand that. But it's that kind of thing that needs to happen, where you do things to enhance Europe's attractiveness and stability and dynamism. And it doesn't mean turning the clock back, but it means turning the clock forward, going forward. And I think it has to be carried out jointly by the U.S. and Europe together. I mean, Europe is not a poor place anymore. 1947, 48, Europe had been devastated. So we had to bear the burden of the Marshall Plan to do it. But the investment was overwhelmingly justified and successful. Europe today is a prosperous area, but it needs major dynamism and needs to be galvanized.
Well, and I have the feeling that most American taxpayers would certainly feel as though something in the nature of the kind of change that I've just described would be necessary to justify putting American money into prosperous nations. But,
sure,
let
me
ask you.
Major investment will pay you off in, you know, in higher returns to trade and so forth, and potentially employment and so forth down the line.
Well, conceivably.
It ultimately leads to less defense spending down the line also, because you have stronger countries that are more able and willing to defend themselves.
So. If, in fact, there is some sort of quid pro quo there, that there does have to be a military spending program behind it. Let me ask you about the mass migration point, Steve Blank, because this, of course, is going to be a huge problem for the foreseeable future. I'm not sure that it is attenuated if Europe is more prosperous. It may simply be that much more attractive and that much more susceptible to providing social safety services to that many more people from the Middle East. But it also, it seems to me, is a crisis for Russia, whether they're literally immigrating there or whether they're simply non-Russian populations that are growing far faster than the old Russians are. Give us a flavor of how this sorts out the demographics of, if you wish, Europe, but certainly of Russia. And is there a kind of après moi le déluge kind of quality to Putin's view of all of this, given some of these realities?
Well, in Europe, I mean, as I said, I mean, everything we know from economics is that people will move to a higher wage place, all things being equal. And given what's going on in many of these countries, all things are not equal because people are in fear of their lives and of their children's lives. But immigrants are always the enterprising ones. And they're going to come to Europe regardless of whether we want them to or not. So we might as well make the best, and Europe might as well make the best of this. And I realize that's a big sacrifice and troubling for political systems, but this is going to happen. It's not something we can stop. Because we don't have the money and the wisdom to rebuild the whole Middle East on our own. So we need to encourage that kind of dynamism in Europe. And if it's going to come from immigrants, so be it. I mean, I'm the child. I'm a first-generation American. My parents were immigrants. They came here for opportunity, freedom, and security. Same thing that people are coming to Europe for.
I'm not so sure about that, but quickly, talk about the Russian demographic situation, if you will.
The Russian demographic situation is that the Russian population is on a declining trajectory, although Russia is a recipient of migration, but the migration is essentially Muslim men from Central Asia and the Caucasus, and Russians returning from these areas. The Muslim men are looking for work. They're not educated for the most part. They live in pretty bad conditions in Russia. They're the object of racism and ethnic discrimination. But the Russian population is not reproducing at anywhere near the level it should. And this is true, of course, in Europe as well.
Sounds like a formula for a lot of turmoil in the not too distant future within Russia. Steve Blank, we are hard out of time. There's been a lot discussed and a lot more to discuss. I hope that you will come back to us for that purpose in the near future. But thank you so much for your contribution to Putin's Reset. The Bear is Back. And how America must respond, as well as all the services you've rendered to our country in your various capacities heretofore and now at the American Foreign Policy Council. We're appreciative of your friendship and your help as a colleague in these fights. Keep it up. Come back to us soon. I hope the rest of you will do so tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.